First of all, there are calls to reform what are called short hop zones, where public transport is cheaper within certain areas. The Dáil has heard it's three times more expensive to get a train from Newbridge towards Dublin compared to getting a service from Salins and Naas. It was part of a debate on a motion to make public transport free and more accessible, which was passed with no opposition from the government. And Labour TD Duncan Smith says many don't use public transport outside of Dublin because it's too expensive.
We have areas such as Newbridge where the rail fare is €12 to get into the city, whereas from Naas it's €4. People like my colleague Senator Mark Wall has been raising this now for a number of years. We have people who are getting into their cars in Monaster Avenue and Newbridge and places like this who should be getting the train, but it is unaffordable.
Yeah, we've had public representatives raising this issue for quite some time, but also people within the communities and campaigners have been calling for change for the last number of years. And one of those indeed is Jennifer Caffrey, spokesperson for Extend the Short Hop Zone around the Newbridge area. Jennifer, good morning and welcome to the programme again.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. So I suppose just to summarise and go back over essentially what the issue is here, it's cheaper, much cheaper, to get a train from Salins into Dublin than the further south you go in Kildare. The prices are just through the roof.
That's correct, yeah. So I think the prices quoted just in that snippet there might have been one way before the 20% reduction came in. But currently, for example, it's €16.90 for a return, an adult return to Dublin from Newbridge, yeah, to Euston. Whereas in Salins, you can get your return ticket for €6 on the Leap card. The fare from Newbridge has no capping. Any onward journeys are extra. But from Salins, there's an €8 cap a day. So you could travel all around Dublin all day and have a maximum fee of €8 on buses and DART and that kind of thing.
And that is the definition of what the short hop zone is. You can use the Leap card and it caps at a particular amount. It doesn't go over that. So you can use as many times as you want once it caps. But it doesn't extend as far as Newbridge or even Athy, Monaster Avenue, Kildare town. It's causing pressure then on those places here in Kildare, like Salins, like Selbridge, where people from the south of the county are driving, and understandably so, driving to those stations to get the cheaper fare.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, for your kind of Monday to Friday trip, people are driving. I mean, we have an example of somebody who lives in Allen and they drop their kids off in Newbridge to school and they continue in the car on the N7 to Salins to commute from there because they can't afford to commute from Newbridge. So, you know, these are the kind of totally unnecessary journeys that people are making, whereas if the fare was reduced, they'd go from Newbridge, you know, they'd save on petrol, be less congestion on the roads. And also people who are living in Newbridge within walking distance of the station could cycle or scoot or, you know, use these active modes of transport that the government are trying to encourage.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, Jennifer, but I make this point every time we discuss public transport and in particular rail transport in Kildare. It's not just about getting from one station to Dublin. If you want to travel within the stations in Kildare, it costs a fortune. I live in Salins. If I get the train from Salins to Euston, it costs me whatever, €4 or €5. If I get it 3 minutes down the line, down to Newbridge, it costs me €6 or €7, which makes no sense.
Exactly. And I think this is that emphasis that, you know, I just mentioned there about the Monday to Friday. Then if you think of kind of beyond the Monday to Friday or for people, you know, who are just traveling, you know, between towns during the week, if you've got that capping, right? So say if it comes to, I don't know, an evening during the week or a Saturday trip at the weekend, if you've got that fare capping within the zones and you've done your traveling during the week, it might actually cost you nothing extra. If you were traveling from Salins and wanted to come to Newbridge, you might choose the train because you've already, you know, you've been traveling 5 days that week, you've already reached your max. It might literally cost you nothing to hop on the train and travel into Newbridge to go to Whitewater. Right now, nobody would even consider doing that because it's so expensive and they probably don't even think about using the train, you know, to travel within Kildare. And we have massive congestion issues in Naas, in Newbridge, even, you know, in Kildare, just kind of getting around. And I think having the short hop extended would encourage people to use public transport, you know, in the evenings, at weekends as well, and for those, even for those shorter trips.
it would be an incentive, wouldn't it, for people to start using public transport? Because we're constantly being told and we're constantly hearing that we need to use public transport, you know, for the climate, for the congestion issues, etc., etc. And an example as well that I would often give is I was in Luxembourg a couple of months ago. Public transport there is completely free. You just get on public transport in Luxembourg, be it a tram, a bus, a train, whatever. You get on, you get off. There's no tickets, there's no issue whatsoever. And it's funded by the government. Would you feel as though there's a lack of incentive here?
Oh, there's an absolute lack of incentive. I mean, we shouldn't have to think, oh, can I afford to, it shouldn't be the way that it's cheaper to use your car, or, you know, it should be easy to get onto the bus or to get onto the train. You know, payment should be easy with, you know, with this one card, with the Leap card, as it is in the city centre. They're trying to encourage it, but right now we're blocked out of it. You know, we can't access it for all of these reasons. I mean, we have major traffic issues in Newbridge and Naas, and it's probably people travelling from one to the other. and this would greatly assist that.
Okay, before I let you go then, Jennifer, and thanks for taking the call this morning. I know you conducted a bit of an experiment driving in and out of Dublin and getting public transport in and out of Dublin as well. You might tell us more about that and also a little bit about your pre-budget submission that you made to Minister Pascal Donoghue before the budget.
In mid-September, so the campaign that is to extend the short hop zone, it's been run with the assistance of Newbridge Community Development. We sent in a pre-budget submission to Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath, and we just set out in very simple terms, I mean, that we are representing 700 households in Newbridge, so we have an active Facebook group that has 700 members, and our ask is very simple, just that we want the short hop zone extended to Newbridge, and we provided details about the cost of fares. It's like 42 track kilometres from Houston Station. You know, kind of simple overview of our ask, and also just to highlight the population size in Newbridge kind of compared to other towns that are included in the short hop zone. We also included some, all of the comparative distances and costs. And Newbridge really does stand out there, that like compared to others that are in the short hop zone, like, Kilcock, Balbriggan, Kilcool, Salland, you know, there's a lot of comparable things there with journey times, but obviously costs, it just, there's a huge jump in cost from Newbridge. So yeah, we submitted that. And as a result of our campaign, and I know others have been campaigning for this too, in the last month or two, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have adopted this extension of the short hop zone into their own party policies. So both of them have committed, like have added to their party policies that they support the extension of the short hop zone to 50 track kilometres from Dublin. So the will is there in the government. It's just to get the NTA to agree, to get Eamon Ryan to agree, and to get it rolled out. Yeah, so sorry, on the second thing you asked, I was on News Talk, myself and another Newbridge resident, and we travelled to Dublin. I went by train and the other then by car, just to kind of show the commute and the excessive cost of the commute, you know, and kind of the ease of it, the time of it, and that kind of thing. But we're just trying to do everything we can to highlight our ask and just to highlight the need for the extension of the short hop zone.
All right. On that note, it was raised in the Dáil yesterday, as we heard from Duncan Smith, the clip there that we played at the start of this interview. And we have spoken to Jennifer Caffrey previously on the programme, and she's on the line there now as well. Spokesperson for Extend the Short Hop Zone in Newbridge. Renewed calls for that short hop to be extended as far as Newbridge and indeed the surrounding areas as well. Jennifer, thanks for taking the time this morning.
That's great. Thank you very much.
And before we take a break then, some of the messages that have come into us regarding this. I drive to Salins from Kilcullen to commute to Dublin, 19 kilometres. It's 8 kilometres from Kilcullen to Newbridge train station. My husband currently commutes to Newbridge by e-bike, which I could do too if Newbridge was financially viable. The monthly tax saver ticket from Salins, which includes the Dart, costs €115 per month. The cost from Newbridge, no Dart or other add-on options is 65% higher at €190 per month, says Orla. And if we even look at going in the opposite direction, so not necessarily up to Dublin, but another listener says the service to Carlow is also very expensive and not many buses run to Carlow or from there. My daughter is in college in Carlow and pays €40 a week. She was paying €60 a week. She now got her LEAP card and it's still €40 per week. So keep those messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97, and thanks to Jennifer Caffrey for joining us on the programme.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's KFM.
Welcome back to the programme. Now joining me on the line is Brendan Ryan. He is the chairperson of Sarsfields GAA Club, because the club is launching its 125-year commemorative booklet at the clubhouse tomorrow evening. Brendan, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for the invitation.
I had a look through this very impressive booklet, I have to say, over the last few days, and it's very impressive. It details the history of the club, going through some of the golden eras as well that the team from Rosebery has seen for the last while. You might just take us back, though, to the history of Sarsfields GAA, founded in 1897, Brendan.
Yeah, it was founded in 1897, and this book is a celebration of all that. The club evolving from 1897 to the present day. It was founded in 1897 in Rosebery. Back then it was a male-dominated club, just playing Gaelic games. But today we're an all-inclusive GAA LGFA club, also have Sarsfields All-Stars for special needs. But going back to the history, like, it was founded in Rosebery, and that's where we were based for a long number of years. Until in the early 80s, we moved up to Rickardstown, where we are now.
And they were founded, Sarsfields, and registered as the Sons of Sarsfield Gaelic Football Club. The green jersey with the sash was the chosen club colours and has continued as such to the present day. In the early 1900s then, Brendan, some of the famous names that would have played for Sarsfields, 9 players played on the Kildare team that reached the All-Ireland Final in 1903. Jack and Mick Fitzgerald, Jim and Mick Murray, Jack Gorman, Matt Donnelly, Jem Scott, Mick Kennedy and Frank Joyce Conlon. And for that decade in the 1900s, Sarsfields dominated Kildare football, and it was only Monastrevin that won the title in 1911 that prevented Sarsfields winning 9 titles in a row. If we move it on then, the next golden era really for the club, Brendan, was between 1945 and 1952, and really Sarsfields were winning championships all round them.
Yes, we won the 3 in a row in 50, 51 and 52, and it hasn't been done since. It's become very close on a few occasions, but that three generation, or that three teams in a row, that 3 in a row team, has been very, very good players on it, like the Tommy Hanlon, Johnny O'Neill, Paddy Byler-White, Bunny Kavanagh. There's only 2 of them players still alive today, as Mike O'Dyle and John O'Neill.
Yeah, and as you say, that 3 in a row was 1950 to 1952, but incredibly, Sarsfields then had to wait 30 years for their next championship win in 1982, which I'm sure a lot of people listening will remember. And we start hearing names then that became legends at the club, the likes of the great Dermot Early, Tom Shaw, Bernie Geraghty, Pat Joyner, Murphy, Kevin Nolan, even John Crofton, Sean O'Sullivan, the list goes on.
John Courtney, he manages after.
Exactly.
John Crofton managed Sarsfields after. That was a seriously good team, and they were very unlucky that year in Leinster against Portlaoise. Very unlucky.
Shea Fahey as well. He later went on to win the All-Ireland with Cork.
That's right. Shea Fahey was with us in 82, and I think he left around 84, I think, or 85 to go on it and join Cork, and he got transferred to Cork with the Army.
And I'm just looking down through here. The Sarsfields also winning the All-Ireland Sevens in 1983
right.
and 84.
Yeah.
That team contains some of those names that we mentioned. John Crofton, yeah. Shea Fahey, John Courtney, Des Bergen.
Steve Kinnevy.
Steve Kinnevy, yes.
Yes, he's done that as well. That was a very good team as well. Back then, that was a very, very popular competition on All-Ireland Final Weekend.
And I think it was Monaghan that a team defeated there. It was up in Monaghan in Scotstown.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, you could be right in that. Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then if we move it into the 90s, and this then was when we saw the emergence of the likes of Niall Buckley, Dermot Early Jr., Padraic Brennan, those players that would have played on Mikko's team.
Yes, we do. In the late 80s, in the early 90s, we had another golden period there in 92, 93, 94, when we won the seniors under-21s and involving the minor finals as well. And some of those players certainly came on to represent Kildare, like the Padraic Brennan, Niall Buckley, said Dermot Early, even Kevin Nolan played in goal for Kildare as well. Some great club players who didn't actually play for Kildare, but they were great club players for Sarsfields.
And Sarsfields won its 20th title then in 2001 when neighbours Moorfield were defeated, and Nafina from Dublin defeated Sarsfields in that Leinster semi-final, but used six substitutes, one more than was allowed.
That was up in, the game was in Navan, I think, and Nafina beat us very, very well that day. I was involved myself as chairperson that day as well, and we didn't realise at the time, but we used six subs, as we were told after. Nafina used six subs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we had a meeting in Portlaoise that the following night, on the Monday night, and Nafina, in their credit, we were talking to them all day, back and forward. They didn't want to take to be seen to be belligerent and take the match because of one sub mistake. So the Leinster Council agreed that if we agreed, we'd play a replay in Newbridge. And we were happy to get replayed because on the day in Navan, we didn't do ourselves justice.
No.
We got to replay in Newbridge and we performed very well. The game went extra time and we could have won it, but we just fell short on the line.
Yeah, I believe that you were beaten actually in extra time with literally the last kick of the game, and I'm sure that lives in a lot of people's memories back in 2001. Moving it on then to the mid-2000s, we start seeing more great players coming out of the club. Gary White and Alan Smith, the aforementioned Dermot Early as well. And yeah, then we move on to present day, Brendan. And over the last number of years, it's really been a tale of Newbridge in county finals. Moorfield and Sarsfields have had some great battles.
Yes, we certainly have. And while it's been nerve-wracking at times, it's been very enjoyable with the town showing off. It's two senior teams in the town playing against each other in a county final. I think the first county final was 2001, and we've had numerous county finals since that. And they've had their share, and we've had our share. So it's been very enjoyable down through the years.
It has indeed, and there's been some great finals that a lot of us would have been to and we would have covered here on KFM over the last 15 or 20 years. Tell us then a little bit about this commemorative booklet, Brendan, how the idea came about. It was something that you always wanted to do to mark 125 years.
Yeah, we did a number of projects this year regarding celebrating 125 years. We did a school's blitz earlier in the year for all the schools in around Newbridge area. That was very successful. We had a couple of fundraising events during the year that was to support this, and we got plenty of support from our sponsors for this. But the book came to a mind of, we had a committee put together, headed up by Liam Moore, and he had the idea of doing a commemorative book. Now, not a book for too many words or reading in it, a photo format, say encompassing all of Sarsfields, not just on the field, but off the field. Off the field, our volunteers are bedrock of our club. Of any club in GA club, in today's day, you need the volunteers off the field. And I have to say, Sarsfield volunteers are among the best in the country. Like they've completed various projects throughout the last number of years. Dressing rooms, new dressing rooms built on the second and third pitch. A walking track put around the second and third pitch. Our recycling project is a huge success, where we pick up empty bottles and cans from members bring up to a rehab cycling project. And Liam Moore again runs that, and we get a lot of funding out of that, which is very, very good for the club. The Dermot Early initiative is very, very popular as well for getting group leaders together and moving them on in life. We also have pictures of it portrayed in all age groups of coaches and managers and players. And I say we're an inclusive club now, with GAA, LGFA, with a Saturday GAA all-stars as well, that every Saturday morning they meet and have initiatives and games for kids with special needs.
Mm. And I think that's a great initiative as well, and it's been done in a number of clubs around the county. It's yes. to encourage those with special needs to get out and play football and to have that sense of community and involvement within the club. Very important that you say there as well, Brendan, the work that's done by the volunteers, because often that can be maybe not forgotten but put to the sideline a little bit. When a team goes up the steps in Connolly's Park and collects a trophy, you know, a lot of the focus is on what that team has done and what the management has done, but it starts way, way back in the club.
Starts way back in the club. Like, if you take that day on a county final day and you win, you go up and get your trophy. But there's people in the background, people in the club at the present time who are up there maybe getting the bar ready for coming back, people cooking in the kitchen for the food for the lads, people put up flags all through the week. People working in the shop selling our gear for the county final. And they are all volunteers.
Yeah, and the other aspect then of the inclusiveness is, as you mentioned, the All-Stars and the LGFA side of things, and Sarsfields have been very successful on that front as well. A number of players playing for the county this year, getting to the final as well, unfortunately beaten by Eadstown, but have won loads of medals down through the years as well on the ladies' side.
Yes, we have indeed. We have a few very good players coming through down through the years with Sarpy's GA Senior and Intermediate. We had a couple of girls this year, one under 16, Kildare, and minor with Kildare this year as well.
Indeed, and we played actually myself and a couple of the others who were over the Salons ladies teams played against the Sarsfield second team, and they gave us a pretty decent game managed by Tony Donnelly, a former Salons man out there in Sarsfield.
That's right, yeah. Tony, one of our coaches, again a volunteer.
Yeah.
All volunteers.
Exactly. Listen, tell us then about the launch tomorrow evening of this booklet, which, as I say, is incredibly impressive. Some great articles in it, some great photographs as well. It's taken place in the clubhouse tomorrow, Brendan.
Clubhouse tomorrow night on at 8:30. Every member is invited. We have a few special guests invited as well on the night. We were hoping to have our remaining two, three in a row members, Mike O'Dyle and John O'Neill, there, but unfortunately they're not well enough to attend. That would be nice for one of them to launch the book, but maybe one of their family who will be there might launch the book for us.
Yeah. So, and it's of particular interest, of course, to anyone who is based in the Sarsfields club, but even for myself as an outsider reading it, it's so, so interesting to get the views of the history of one of the most successful clubs in the county. So it would be of great interest to those who have an interest just in local GAA widely as well. 8:30, free to attend, Brendan, tomorrow.
Free to attend, and the book is €10.
Super stuff. And where will that be on sale then?
It'll be on sale certainly in Sarsfield. You'll be having to sign it like maybe on a Saturday morning up for the underage academy on Saturday morning to be for sale. We're not sure what shops just yet.
Okay.
We'll work with that after tomorrow night. And say it's €10, and it'll be a lovely Christmas present for people to buy as well.
It would indeed, and a good Christmas present to send abroad if anybody who did play for Sarsfields down through the years has moved abroad as well. Listen, well done to yourself and all the committee there that were involved in putting that booklet together. Tomorrow night in Sarsfields GAA Club, the launch of the 125-year commemorative booklet, and that is Brendan Ryan, the chairperson of Sarsfields GAA. Plenty of messages coming in to us as well regarding Sarsfields and congratulating all the team there on putting that booklet together, and those messages coming into us on the WhatsApp. There's also one just going back to what we mentioned with Jennifer regarding the train service, and this listener says, "Hi Owen, the service from Carlow is very poor, especially at weekends. The last train back to Carlow during the working week is at 8:15pm, then the last train to Carlow from Houston is at 6:35pm on Saturday, which is totally crazy, and it makes it very difficult to do anything in Dublin in the evenings and forces you to drive to Newbridge to get the train." This listener goes on to say, "On a Sunday, the first train to Houston from Carlow is at 10:15am. It's a total disgrace of a service," says this listener. "Irish Rail, Eamon Ryan and all the Carlow Kilkenny TDs should be ashamed that they are allowing this situation to continue, as Carlow is now a commuter town."
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
October is National Reuse Month. Let's change our ways for good. Reusing is great. Reusing and winning €750 is even better. Find an old item, bling it up, and enter the Upcycle Challenge. Visit mywaste.ie/upcyclechallenge for ideas on great ways to upcycle unwanted items and to submit your entry. This message was brought to you by Kildare County Council.
Looking to scrap your car? Want to get paid for it and have it recycled responsibly and in accordance with the ELV directive? Your local licensed and authorised treatment facility is All Spares Kildare Ballysax the Curragh. All Spares will take care of all your needs when it comes to scrapping your car. An end-of-life certificate is issued and your car is deregistered. It's an easy and quick process. Why wait? Call today. All Spares Kildare 045 456 702.
Harvey Norman is your home of energy-efficient appliances, like the Whirlpool 11kg washing machine with Fresh Care that keeps laundry fresh even after the cycle has ended. Now €799, save €100. Or the Whirlpool 10kg washing machine with Zen technology for supremely silent washers, just €999. Pair with the energy-saving Whirlpool 9kg heat pump dryer for ideal results and reduced energy consumption, just €899. And all machines include a 5-year warranty. Harvey Norman, your home of energy-efficient appliances.
Are you a landowner with zoned land for residential development? At Glenveagh, we've brought our expertise to building quality homes on land all over Ireland. Now, we'd like to bring it to yours. Over the last number of years, we've become a trusted partner delivering high-quality, desirable homes and growing sustainable communities to landowners like you. So if you've got zoned land for residential development, it's time to find out what we could achieve together. Visit glenveagh.ie/land. Glenveagh. Home of the new.
Imagine a device so innovative, you're...
Accept cookies?
There is a device so forward-thinking, you...
Accept cookies?
A device that is so modern, you...
Accept cookies?
Now imagine a technology where cookies don't get in the way of your advertising. Welcome to Radio. Advertising that's cookie-free. Visit RadioCentreIreland.ie. to see what radio can do for your product or brand.
Johnstown Garden Centre Shop and Cafe, just off the N7 Naas. Home of expert garden advice, shopping and gifts. Free parking, open 9 till 6, Sundays 11 to 6. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
KFM's legal slot with Susan Webster and Company Family Law Solicitors. Phone 01-629-2200.
Yeah, week two of our legal slot here on KFM, and Susan Webster, solicitor, joins us on the line again. Good morning to you, Susan.
Morning, Owen. Thanks so much to you and the listeners for having me again.
No problem. And this morning we're talking about separation divorce. Tell us more.
Yeah, we are indeed. And obviously this is a very difficult topic for people. It's a very traumatic time for people. And I always say that people should lean on any supports that are available to them, particularly professional support, so their GP and any counsellors that might be available. So there are three ways to separate legally in Ireland: by way of separation agreement, judicial separation and divorce. But before we go into that at all, I need to talk about mediation, because solicitors have an obligation to discuss mediation with their clients and ensure that they understand it and perhaps might like to try mediation. So mediation is a non-legal forum. It's a way for two people who have decided that they no longer want to remain married to meet with a trained mediator and come to an agreement between themselves as to what's going to happen to them and their family and all of those things that go with family into the future. There are two options for people. You can go to a private mediator who you will pay yourself, or you can go through the Family Mediation Service, which comes under the auspices of the Legal Aid Board and which is a free service for people. If you Google Family Mediation Service, you'll find your local centre. There are a number of them around the country. You can give them a call and discuss with them what the waiting times are and how the process works through them. But for most people, how mediation works is that both parties firstly have to agree to mediation. Once both parties agree that they want to try it, they would then meet with their chosen mediator separately. And the mediator discusses with each person how they see things progressing into the future and what they would like to happen. And after that, then the mediator sets up a number of structured meetings for people to discuss what's going to happen for their family. So the first meeting might be about children.
The second meeting might be about children. The third meeting might be about the family home, and it goes on and on. It's a tailored process for the people themselves and their family. And at the end of it, the hope is that you have mediated agreement, which is an agreement non-legally binding for both parties as to how things are going to go into the future for them and their family. I should say that in some situations, mediation may not be appropriate. For example, domestic violence situations. And in those situations, it's a matter for the mediator and the people themselves to come to a decision to see if it is appropriate for them or not. So I would always say to people, if mediation, you believe it would be appropriate, and you should perhaps talk to your partner about it and see if you can, if both of you are interested. And if so, see it go along and see if you can try and come to an agreement between yourselves. And if so, that's great for the family. If that doesn't work out, or if, for example, one person decides that they cannot or do not want to try mediation, then as I said, there are three ways to separate legally in Ireland. So that's by way of a separation agreement, judicial separation, or divorce. We look at separation agreements first, because they are exactly what they say they are. An agreement between the two people as to say that they no longer want to remain married, they no longer want to live together, and then an agreement about everything else that's going to happen between themselves. It's usually negotiated between solicitors. So the process is both parties will normally go to their own solicitor, and there will be an exchange of full financial disclosure. And after that, then there'll be both parties will say to the solicitor, well, this is what I would like. And there'll be negotiations back and forth. And the hope is that at the end of it, you'll have an agreement that deals with all matters relating to the family home, the children, any other assets or liabilities that the people will have. And it will deal with all of that. Can't deal with pensions, I should say. And then it's signed by both parties. And it's basically a private contract. And it doesn't go any further. That's the end of the matter. I should also say that you can't remarry after getting a separation agreement. If a separation agreement can't be agreed, if it just doesn't work out between the parties, or if people would like a court order, then you must go to court. Now, people often get quite afraid and think, oh, I don't want to go to court. But if you want a decree of judicial separation or a decree of divorce, then you have to go to court, because it's only a judge who can make those orders. You can agree all other matters. And even if you are agreed in respect of them, and if there's no animosity, you still have to go to court, because it's the judge who has to grant that order. So I would say to people, don't be afraid of court-based proceedings. They're not, in fact, most of them are not hugely contentious. Most of them do not end up in a full fight before the court. It's only a very small minority that are very difficult cases that end up before a judge to make decisions in respect of everything. Most people, in the course of any court proceeding, will be, with the assistance of their legal representatives, will be able to come to an agreement between themselves and then go before the court to get their final decree of either judicial separation or divorce. What's the difference? There's a number of differences in respect of how you make that application to court, but the main difference for a lot of people is divorce really is as full and final a settlement as you can get in Ireland. It's the end of the line. So, for example, you may have a separation agreement, and then in years to come, you can get a divorce. You may have a judicial separation, and in years to come, get a divorce. So you may have two sets of difficult, and difficult in the sense of traumatic, emotional proceedings. Whereas divorce, it's one set of proceedings, and that's the end of it, usually. And also, once you get a decree of divorce, you can then remarry. If you have a separation agreement or a judicial separation, you cannot remarry afterwards. The other thing I should say is that there was a change to the divorce laws in 2019. The Family Law Divorce Act came in 2019, and that changed the rules. If you're looking for a divorce in Ireland, there are three requirements you have to satisfy. There has to be no prospect of reconciliation. You have to have been living separate and apart for two out of the previous 3 years, and there has to be proper provision for the family. Now, those last two are very important. All of them are obviously important, but people often think, oh, I have to be living separate and apart for two out of the previous 3 years. Mm. Does that mean we have to be living in separate houses? And the answer is no. You have to essentially have been living separate lives, and particularly during COVID when nobody could go anywhere. It was a very difficult time for people, and people would have separated and have been living in the same house, but have been living in separate households or living separate lives. So normally people will agree, we're not, you know, our marriage is over. We've perhaps tried to reconcile, we've tried counselling, but from this, you know, from now, our marriage is over and we're going to live separately. And so that will be sufficient, even if you're living in the same household. And people will, you know, they will operate their own lives and be living separately. Obviously, this is a very emotional process for people. Even if one person has actually decided that the marriage is at an end, it's still very emotional and can be difficult and traumatic because you have a life with the other person and that life is now going to be unravelled and you'll have a new life afterwards. So I would always say to people, obviously lean on family, friends, for whatever support is available. But after that, then you may need, you know, to look for professional help. I would always suggest that people talk to their GP about any huge changes in their lives that are happening, and then counsellors. And solicitors will always provide a list of counsellors who can assist people for counselling for themselves or perhaps for the family. So that's always vitally important through the whole process. That's the other thing. Court-based process can take a long time. People often get very frightened and think, oh, my life is, this is going to change so suddenly. And unfortunately, the reality is that the courts try and do their best and get through things as quickly as possible, but they're never, it's never very quick. If you're, from the time that you issue proceedings for judicial separation or divorce, you're probably looking at 18 to 24 months. If it takes all of that time to go through all of the process and you're looking for what's called a hearing date, it could be that amount of time before you'll get to the court. So it can be a long time for people to be bearing a lot of stress and tension. So any professional support that are available to people, I would always say avail of, and just make sure that you're looking after yourself through the process.
Susan, you might just go through as well the aftermath of each option again. I know you touched on them a little bit earlier on. So where is the possibility of remarrying again? And also how soon after can you remarry?
Well, there are so you can only remarry when you are divorced. So if you have a separation agreement, if you have a mediated agreement, you cannot remarry. If you have a separation agreement, you cannot remarry. If you have a judicial separation, you cannot remarry. It's only when you're granted a decree of divorce that you can thereafter remarry. Now, there are requirements in respect of marrying in Ireland. You have to give, I think, a 3-month notice to the registrar notice of intention to marry. So there are time you couldn't marry immediately thereafter. Once you have your decree of divorce, you're entitled to remarry. But there are requirements that you must follow in Ireland to marry. In saying that, you can look for an exemption, but that might be something we look at another time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something to bear in mind. And just the other thing I wanted to touch on in relation to divorce is there has to be proper provision for the family. And people say, well, what's proper provision? Proper provision is proper financial provision. The court or a judge or even the parties between themselves have to ensure that both parties and any children, dependent children to the marriage, and a dependent child is a child up to the age of 18 or 23 if they're in full-time education, that they can all move forward, that there's proper financial provision for them. They can all move forward, have a life, they have somewhere to live, that the bills can be paid, and that they can have a life after the marriage has broken down. And so people might say, well, how do we know what proper provision is? The answer is it's different for every single family, because obviously different people have different incomes and outgoings and different obligations. So what it will all depend on is the finances, and both people throughout this process will complete what's called an affidavit of means, and they fully vouch it, so they back it up with all their financial documents. And once there's full financial clarity, both people will be able to have a clear idea as to how they can move forward. How can they be housed? How can the children be housed? how can they manage the finances? Because you must remember, what was previously one household will now be two households. There will be two homes and two households being run from what was previously one. So again, coming back to you, that's very, it's a very, it's not just the emotional, it's the finances, it's absolutely everything that people are dealing with, and you know, to get the support that's required.
All right. For this week's Legal Slot, many thanks for that. That is Susan Webster, solicitor in Maynooth. Susan, thanks for taking our call this morning.
Thank you, Owen.
KFM's Legal Slot with Susan Webster and Company Family Law Solicitors. Phone 01 629 2200.